The season of Advent is a time of preparation, similar to Lent, that we're preparing for the celebration of Christmas. It's a season of waiting and expectation, but not just for what will happen on December 25th. Because if that was the case, it would be kind of anticlimactic in some ways. Right? I don't know if you've ever lived a year when Christmas didn't happen on December 25th, but I never have. Right? We're always going to have Christmas at the end of the Advent season. So it prepares us, yes, for that great celebration of Christ becoming man. But it's also meant to prepare us to be more like God. To allow the Advent, the coming of Christ, not to be just something that happened in history, but to be something that continues to happen now and that we're ready for him to come again in glory. And I mentioned last Sunday that I think the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity are really the ways that we should always be doing that. Because they're theological virtues because they come from God and lead us back to him. They help us to become more like him in how we respond to the world and how we live out our lives here on this earth. And so for the next couple of weeks, I actually just want to examine each of those virtues a little more deeply. Starting this week with the virtue of faith. What does it mean to actually have faith in terms of what the church teaches as a virtue? Because I think sometimes we hear the word faith or that we believe and that we use it so often to mean so many different things that it starts to lose its meaning. Kind of gets diluted and we're not sure what it's supposed to mean to say that I have faith in God and I believe that Jesus is my Savior. We believe in all sorts of things. So it can be hard to see how this might be different. But in the Catechism, the Church says faith is necessary for salvation. For it is the means by which we commit our whole self to God as a response to his love and revelation. So at the core of faith is first seeing what God has done. First recognizing the revelation of himself. And then having heard that revelation, having heard him proclaim that word, asking, do I believe and trust in him? That faith and trust is what leads us to give our lives over totally to him, to say that we'll follow wherever he goes, that we want to be obedient to him above all other inclinations and desires in our life. So St. Thomas Aquinas really focuses on this as a response to someone that can be believed. That faith is the response to someone's testimony. It could be the testimony of a friend or a family member. It could be the testimony of a random stranger on the street. But in terms of the virtue of faith, it's our response to the witness of God himself. We have to hear who God says he is and decide, do we believe and trust in him? So how do we hear that revelation of God? How do we know who he says he is? The first way that all of us can is just through his revelation, through the scriptures. One of the main reasons that he's given us the Holy Bible is so that we can know who God is. From the very beginning, going back to the first chapter of Genesis, knowing that he is the creator and source of all being. Knowing that he gives us free will and even permits the misuse of free will when we sin. And that little by little, he leads his people to be reunited with him perfectly. He doesn't abandon us to our own devices to overcome sin, but instead actively works to save us from that. That applies to all of us generally as humans, how God works through the scriptures, that is part of his revelation. Part of it's also how he works through history in the saints and in the figures of the church. But I think if we only see God as revealing himself in those generic ways, we can never really have the fullness of the virtue of faith. Because if I just believe, well, I guess, sure, God could have created the world and he's the creator of all things and he loves all of us as humans, so that's good for me because I guess I fit into that big group. I don't think that's ever going to be how we commit ourselves fully to God. It's never going to be my response to him and his love. It's always going to be kind of forced or coerced. Instead, I think the real virtue of faith, a theological virtue that leads to changing our lives, always has to be personal. And we start to see how God is working today in the world around us, and in a particular way, how he's acted and revealed himself to me. The ways he's given me great and plentiful graces that I don't deserve. the ways that he's shown his generous love to me in a particular way, or my family. And to be able to point to those moments and say, because of that, Lord, I trust fully in you. I trust that you were there to provide for me and to give me what I needed, and so you can do a similar thing right now. We have to have that personal testimony, that personal witness that applies to us, so that we can have a life-changing faith and not one that's just generic as it is for everyone. And I think in some ways that's what the prophet Baruch is encouraging the people of his time to do in the first reading. Sometimes we hear about prophets and we think that they're just looking forward to something in the future because I guess God knows the future so he can kind of say what's going to happen. And that the people's response was just to wait around and go, oh, well, that's cool, Baruch. I guess we'll wait to see when God does that. Instead, in today's first reading, the prophet Baruch is telling the people of Israel, the people in Jerusalem, to actually start looking for what God is doing. Baruch comes at a particularly hard time when the people of Israel are separated. They're not all united together. So he gives them this vision of telling them to stand on the heights and look around. Look to the east and the west and seeing all God's people being reunited to him. Again, I don't think that's just something they can hope for one day in the future. Oh, maybe, I guess we'll get to see that. Instead, Baruch's saying, no, you people of Jerusalem right now, look for the ways God's already starting to reunite his people. Look at the ways that he's making mountains and hills laid low and filling in the valleys. He's not saying they're perfectly there yet, but he wants them to look around and notice what God is already doing. That God's active in the present moment. But it wasn't just something that happened in the past, nor just something to wait for in the future when he sends the Messiah, but to actually look and seek the ways he's acting right now. Brothers and sisters, I think that's our call to live out of that faith during the Advent season, to actively look and seek for the ways that God is working in our lives, to find little ways that he's making crooked ways straight, to find ways that he's reuniting us to him and helping us to overcome our sinful nature. That in those little ways, we can start to have an even greater faith and trust in him. To say, yes, Lord, I believe you are who you say you are, the creator of the world, that you sent your son to redeem us, and that the Holy Spirit is continually sent to sanctify us. But in a particular personal way, I believe that's true for me right now. I believe that you're working in my life and that I can hand myself over totally to you. That's the kind of faith that can change us and lead us into a new life. Pope Benedict XVI, in his encyclical Spe Salvi, which is all about the virtue of hope, said that he didn't feel like he could explain hope without first explaining what the virtue of faith is. Because he says in the Bible, sometimes they interchange the words faith and hope because they seem to be so closely united. He says, faith is not merely a personal reaching out towards something to come, things that are still totally absent. Rather, it gives us something. It gives us even now something of the reality that we are waiting for. And this present reality constitutes for us a proof of the things that are still unseen. So in seeing the promises that God makes in the Old Testament and to us today, by living by them and trusting in them, we bring a little bit of the future into the present moment. Again, not perfectly making those crooked ways straight, but maybe straightening them out little by little. Filling in little valleys of selfishness or pride so that we can be more like him. And that the more we do that and recognize it, the more faith and trust we can put in our Heavenly Father. He says, faith draws the future into the present, so that it is no longer simply a not yet. The fact that this future exists changes the present. The present is touched by the future reality, and thus the things of the future spill over to those of the present. Brothers and sisters, I think that's what the Advent season is always meant to be. It's not just a season of, it's not yet Christmas. Not just a season of, well, we're waiting for something to happen. But a season of saying, Lord, I know what you have promised. Yes, that you would promise to send your Messiah and that he was born humbly in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem. I know that you promised to send him again at his second coming. But right now I eagerly look for that future to spill over into the present, to put my faith and trust totally in you, to show me how to be more like Christ your Son. I think that's how the early Christians lived a life of faith. Because they noticed that after encountering Christ, it was led to a total change in how they lived. It was totally different from the people and nations around them. It was totally different from the ways they had lived for years. Because they said, before their encounter with Christ, they were without hope and without God in the world. But after encountering him, they could actually trust in that Heavenly Father. They could have the virtue of faith that starts to bring those promises into reality, not just in the future, but in the current moment. In many ways, I think that's what our readings are encouraging us to do today, is to live by that virtue of faith, trusting that God can and will act in our lives right now. The way the evangelist Luke presents us with John the Baptist preaching in the gospel seems to really indicate that he wanted us to know that it was a real thing that happened. If you notice at the beginning of the gospel, I read a bunch of people and places that, frankly, aren't real familiar to us. I read about Herod the Tetrarch, Philip, his brother, Lysanias, some place called Iturea, which I've never heard of. Right? That it seems to be very unimportant to us in the modern world, why he would list these people and places. But I think Luke wants to be very intent on telling the people around him, remember that this really happened. Remember this really happened, and it wasn't that long ago. Right? That many of the people he was talking to probably remember the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. They go, oh, that was 15 years ago. Yeah, that was 20 years ago. I know when that was. And so he wants to show us that God was acting, and that he's encouraging the people to look for how God may be doing that in their lives. That he didn't want to just do it with John the Baptist and Jesus in the years before them. Nor were they just to wait around and hope that it would happen again. But instead to actively look and seek his presence. Actively see his revelation and trust more fully in him. That's why St. Paul encourages us to be confident of the work of God. To be confident that Christ continues to work in us, and the thing that he has started, he will bring to completion. Brothers and sisters, that's only possible with the virtue of faith. To have faith that he is acting and will continue to act. So during this Advent season, let us seek to grow in that virtue of faith. That we can see personally that he is acting in our lives. We can personally say, Lord, I trust you and believe that you are who you say you are. And I want to give my life over totally to you. I want to see the ways that you can make crooked ways straight and bring every mountain and hill low in my life. Can you remove any obstacle that would be between myself and you? That in that way, our Advent won't be just a time of waiting for Christmas. It won't be just about what hasn't yet happened. Instead, with faith, we will see what God wants to do in our lives. We will make that future reality present. We will start to see how Christ intends to come among us, like he did 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, and make his presence and his love known to us.